Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, there's some sunshine out at last. Oh, the snow will start melting. We got lots to get to today. Have you been keeping an eye on this nominee for Attorney General Merrick Garland? He is quite the wacky guy. We'll take a look at him and Cuomo. What happened? Censure? Impeachment? Criminal charges? We'll get to all of that. And some interesting little Dr. Fauci is up to it again. We'll get to Joe Biden and all of that. Hey, Joe Bartlett, you don't watch Saturday Night Live, do you? Probably not.
I just watch the opening skit that you, and then the monologue, and then I turn it off.
Yeah, that's about all that is worth anything. Now, the opening sketch always is about the President of the United States. For the last 4 years, every episode opens with a sketch about the President of the United States, Donald Trump. And then they do three, four other sketches. There's been like 62,000 sketches about the President of the United States for the last 4 or 5 years in Saturday Night Live. People have noticed since November, there's not been one single sketch about the President of the United States. Isn't that interesting? Biden's been in for, is it 5 weeks? Not a sketch, not anything. They don't mention him. They don't, it's a little cowardly, isn't it? I give him credit.
Well,
they went after Cuomo.
What's he done?
There's all kinds of funny things, all the bumbling things. What about in the town hall where he said blacks and Hispanics, they don't know how to use the internet. That's why they can't get the vaccine. What about that one? That was pretty good.
This should have been a million times.
Yeah, there's a million Biden blunders. Look at that mangy dog that he drags out every night. And you can see the dog can't stand him. Look at the body language of the dog. He's like leaning away from Biden. Doesn't even know who this guy is. So, but I give Biden credit. When there's a crisis, he snaps into action and always does what great Democratic leaders do. Stage of publicity event, a photo op, some symbolic gesture, something that doesn't actually do anything but looks good. So last night he held what the hell was that last night? It's a candlelight vigil.
Yeah.
500,000 deaths, and he put on a black mask, and he looked like a funeral director, and they lit a candle.
That's more Americans who have died in 1 year in this pandemic than in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined.
Yeah, well, this is a great tragedy. It's this was the most historic year, but I don't know what this accomplished with this.
The day will come, and the memory of the loved one you lost will bring a smile to your lips before a tear to your eye.
You see, and this is what Cuomo was good at. You know, Cuomo never showed any real empathy for anybody at any point during this whole crisis. But when he would do those briefings, when he got to the death number, he would tear up like a funeral director. When a funeral director makes that speech about, it starts to tear up, but he's got to look at the card, see what the name of this person was. Can't remember. So he would do that. And this is what Biden's doing.
As we acknowledge the scale of this mass death in America, we remember each person.
You see, that's a certain kind of voice that politicians have. This is was a weakness of Donald Trump in the Oval Office. He was not a professional politician, and you're missing certain things. And that's one of the things he was missing, that funeral director voice, that bedside manner thing that these guys practice for years. You know, if you're a vice president, that's your main job, speaking at funerals. So Biden had 8 years of that, so he can put on that voice and talk like this. But that's one thing Donald Trump wasn't good at. He didn't have that. And it's more of a case of it's an acting skill he never picked up, he never learned. Somebody who does a radio show, they're not professional radio hosts, but suddenly they find themselves hosting a radio show, and they kind of sound, it's okay. But then they get to the commercial, and they can't read a commercial.
Right.
You know what I mean? They read it like they're reading it. They can't make it sound real. So that's the problem with President
Trump. As we acknowledge the scale of this mass.
Didn't have that bedside manner.
The people we lost were extraordinary. They spanned generations. Born in America, immigrated to America. But just like that, so many of them took their final breath alone in America.
See, to that voice with that inflection, it's a certain skill that he has. And this took place about 6:30. An incredible coincidence. It took place just as the evening news was coming on, so they could take it live on the network. And it was over before 7:00. Because, you know, Biden wanted to get the hell out of there and get back to watching whatever he doesn't watch. I guarantee he doesn't watch Jeopardy. He wouldn't know one. I don't know one question. Imagine him. So that was the symbolic gesture. Democrats love that. Look at Cuomo. He's in big trouble. Big trouble. So what did he do yesterday? Did you see that video? He put on that leather jacket. You know, that's the one where there's a crash somewhere and he's there with a flashlight at the crash site. Or remember when the prisoners escaped and he was in the woods looking for him? He's got this beat up old leather jacket. I mean, when he puts that on, that means one thing: photo op. So yesterday he showed up at a vaccine center for a photo op, and he wears the blue jeans and he wears those work boots as if he might be crawling through mud, just in case. You gotta put those boots on. And what was the point of that? It was a new vaccine center opening.
Yes.
I guess. I think it was Medgar Evers.
Right, it's a mass vaccination site.
Oh, it's a mass vaccination site as opposed to what? Give out one a day. I think they're all mass vaccination sites. That's the idea. But what a speech.
We're announcing a number of reopenings, watching the valve and the infection rate.
Oh, see, that's on the phone. Yesterday, he didn't do a live briefing. What does that mean? He did it over the phone. And when he's on the phone, he always sounds kind of menacing, doesn't he?
Masks, assigned seating, social distancing. They need the enhanced air filtration, ventilation, and purification standards that DOH has specified.
But why is he always mumbling on the phone? He's always, does he do these from bed or something when he just wakes up?
Masks, assigned, as we previously announced, all patrons must be tested prior to the event. Sign in with contact information to assist with contact tracing. Venues must notify the local health department.
Okay, you know, one of the things he's talking about, they're going today, what reopens today? Barclay Center, Madison
and
Square
the Garden.
Garden? Yeah. And mm-hmm. What else?
Those are the only indoor sporting events, because you have to have at least 10,000 seats.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You can now go to Barclay Center. You can go to see the games at Madison Square Garden. It's very easy. You just have to have a coronavirus test in the last 2 days. And it's the real good one. What's that called? The PR, whatever it is, test, which you got to wait a day or two for the results. So, which really doesn't tell you anything. You know, when you get that really good test with a swab up each nostril and they send it out to a lab and it takes a day, that test, if it says you don't have it, you don't have it, and that test is good until you leave the room. And then for the next 2 days, you could have picked it up, so I don't know what that means. And they take your temperature when you come in to the Garden or Barclay Center, and they use that, a lot of these restaurants have it, it's set up in the front, it's a big thermal something thing on the stand, or they take that thermometer gun and point it at your head. They're not that accurate, these things. You know, you say, well, why do I have to stick the thermometer in my mouth for 3 minutes? And that thing does it in 1 second, because it's not that accurate. Put the thermometer in your mouth for 3 minutes, you get a real reading. That thing, whenever I go in a restaurant, they point it at my head. What does it say? Oh, good, you're 96. I'm not 96, I'm 98.6. So it's always 97, 96. But what's the idea of this, that it's 25% in the Garden, 25% in Barclay Center?
Yes.
Well, it's pretty good. That's 2,500 people. And this will not affect Mets games, though, because they generally only get 2,500 people. So it'll look pretty much the same. A lot of people are talking about this stimulus bill that they've passed, the $1.9 trillion. Many people are pointing out that of the $1.9 trillion, that's a lot of money. You know, the whole budget of the U.S. is like $4 trillion a year. $1.9 trillion. Only about 800,000 of it really goes to anything that it should go to. The rest is all pork and payoffs. And Biden made that speech. He was so offended. He made this speech. You see that? But show me what you would take out of the bill. You want to take things out? He's you tell me what you would take out. He's one of those Cuomo approaches. You tell me who should die. But Biden said, tell me, you show me something you would take out. Well, everybody on TV, on every network, brought a bunch of experts on, and they listed 4,000 things that should come out. Total pork, payoffs for something, bridges to nowhere. Everybody pointed to a million things. So that didn't work out too well. We'll get to Merrick Garland coming up. This guy... you got to figure he's a little bitter. He wanted to be a Supreme Court justice, and because of what was then known as the Biden rule, they couldn't confirm him in the final year. So he is playing along. He is doing whatever they want. And Nancy Pelosi came up with this narrative. She always comes up with these narratives. Whatever happened, you know, that Democratic saying, never waste a crisis. Well, she's got this thing. Whatever the crisis is, embellish it into something even more. So that break-in at the Capitol was just awful. Just terrible. It was trespassing, vandalism. They should all be arrested, locked up. But she has turned this now into a white supremacist, and they were trying to bring down our democracy. Do you see the guy with the walrus hat? This guy was this guy was not there to bring down our democracy. Nobody was there to bring down our democracy. A coup, an insurrection. It was none of that. And I'm sure in that 100,000 people, you had a couple of white supremacists, but this was not a white supremacist march. It was nothing like that. So this Merrick Garland is playing along as he's testifying. He's going on and on about, as Attorney General, he will personally prosecute these white supremacists. And he will personally lock up these white supremacists. He's keeping that narrative going. But somebody should ask him, what about the 99.9% of the other people who had nothing to do with the white supremacy? So his confirmation will go on today. And we'll take a look at that a little later on. You know that Fauci has a boss. Dr. Fauci works at the National Institute of Health. He has an actual boss. And saying, geez, I've never seen the boss. How come?
That guy sounds like the boss, doesn't he?
Yeah, he actually works, unlike Fauci. During the day from 9 to 5, he's at work working. Fauci is running around doing TV shows and radio shows and podcasts and all of that. So they asked Fauci yesterday, do you think Trump's terrible handling of the pandemic may have caused an extra tens of thousands of deaths? Well, I can't. I don't want to. I would rather not say. But, you know, he sort of gave a bad answer. And there was, who's that? Some guy was it Collins who said by not wearing masks, or the president making masks political, that caused another 10,000 deaths? Did he say that? I think it was Collins.
Yes. Somebody, yeah.
But he forgets to point out it was Fauci that went on 60 Minutes in the middle of March and told people, don't wear a mask. It will not help you. Don't wear a mask. So that was 60 Minutes. And the president always, you could cut together 50,000 clips of him saying, wear a mask. It's good for you. But he did give President Trump credit for one thing. And this is Fauci's boss. It was Trump and his Operation Warp Speed that made that vaccine possible. Vaccines take 4 to 5 years, sometimes 9 years. And remember back then, everybody said, you'll never get a vaccine by the end of the year. It's impossible. It can't be done. But he and his team, Operation Warp Speed, they took down every obstacle, every barrier. They sped up the process. And even Fauci's boss said he marveled at what they were doing, said it was breathtaking to watch.
The fact that we, in December, had not one but two vaccines that had gone through trials of at least 30,000 participants and had been judged safe and effective by a very rigorous and very public FDA process is just breathtaking. That got done in 11 months from when we first knew about this virus is at least 5 years faster than it's ever been done before.
Yeah, so that's Fauci's boss. You see how clear he is? Imagine if you asked Fauci that question. Well, you know, it's efficacious with the variant, and we have to mitigate. If it's congregate settings, you know, he never uses normal words. Don't you give Trump credit? Well, it's important to give credit, and I don't. The credit, as far as not having credit or having credit, it's so Mr. Double Talk. But if you're wondering, just Fauci never goes to work. He's busy all day doing TV and radio shows. This is the guy, Francis Collins, who actually runs the thing. So we'll get to Governor Cuomo and more. And, check out the webpage. We've got a lot of stuff we put up every day. Hey, if you didn't see it, take a look at this. It's actually pretty good. I looked at it again. This is the Saturday Night Live sketch on Cuomo. I'll give them credit. They went after Cuomo on SNL Saturday night. Take a look at the sketch. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
He's got the New York news before it's news. Mark Simone on 710WOR.
Hey, let me just explain this. Trump tax returns, Cy Vance, all that stuff. there is nothing in the Trump tax returns that he would have to worry about. Now, it went to the Supreme Court yesterday when you kept hearing the way it was reported. The Supreme Court ruled he has to turn over his tax returns. That's not at all what happened. There's in New York, in one of these liberal New York courts, it was ruled that he has to turn over his tax returns. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court just denied the case. They wouldn't hear the case. They just said, it's none of our business. Now, the reason for that, the Democrats have totally intimidated the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court right now is terrified of Schumer, Pelosi, and they're afraid that they're going to pack the court. You know, they've been threatening to do that. And if you're currently on the Supreme Court, you don't want it to go to 25 justices and you suddenly get lost in the crowd and you lose all your power. So they've totally intimidated this court. That's why if you look back through the election, you know, the election results, the election cases, anytime they get a case, anything to do with Donald Trump, they reject it. We can't hear it. We don't want anything to do with it. It's like a third rail they don't want to step on. So that's the reason they threw it out. Now, the tax returns, if you listen to some of the great idiots of the world, like Michael Cohen, they couldn't get him on MSNBC fast enough. What do you think? I think he's going to go to jail. That's a, what did he say? He should get a tailor to make him a custom jumpsuit. You know, that kind of stuff. Nobody's going anywhere. There's nothing in the tax returns. The Mueller team, and those are much, much more ruthless investigators than the Cy Vance bunch. They have gone through those tax returns. There's nothing there. And all of those tax returns were ruthlessly audited by the Obama administration, Obama's IRS, Obama administration, heavy audit of those tax returns. They couldn't find anything in them. And also remember, Trump didn't do the tax returns. They're done by one of the major accounting firms, one of the big five. And those accounting firms don't sign off on the tax forms unless everything's in order. So there is nothing in those tax reforms. But Cy Vance has to run for re-election, and he has to run against some real left-wing kooks. So he's got to look very left wing. I'll, you know, keep me in office because I'm gonna the one that's gonna lock up Trump. Remove me now because I'm just about to lock him up. He knows he's not gonna lock him up. So, but Joe Bartlett, what is the psychology of this? Sometimes we hate somebody. We really hate somebody. And Trump clearly, boy, does he set these people off. So you vote him out of office. You badmouth him. But this fantasy of you're gonna lock him up.
The thing is, the more you pay attention to Trump, the less attention you get paid to you. So I think that's what they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, that's the other point, too. Yeah. They don't want to lose him. He's a fundraising thing. He's an election thing. You know, you got to keep voting for us. We got to lock up Trump. Nobody's locking up anybody. Anyway, let's take some calls. Let's go to Sandra in Brooklyn. Sandra's the daughter of B from Brooklyn, who we lost about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Sandra, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
Good. How's the family doing?
Well, you know, one day at a time. We're okay. I wanted to say today that the two things you just spoke about, I was going to say, but Dick Morris had said the best Valentine's Day gift he received was from Donald Trump, because without Donald Trump, he would not have got his vaccinations. So he gave such a nice gratitude thing to Donald Trump on the vaccination. And I also wanted to say that I'm concerned about the Supreme Court, the direction it's going. I mean, yes, they're afraid of the left. They're afraid to do what they feel because they're going to lose their seniority. They'll have more people on the court. They're afraid of it getting packed. Yeah. It's not a good...
All right, Sandra, great call. Thanks for calling. Yeah, we have a neutered Supreme Court at this point. Yeah, this Dick Morris is so busy buttering up Donald Trump. You know, he calls like every 2 days. Every time he's on TV, he's praising Donald Trump because he figures Trump will run again, and he wants to be in. He wants to be the new campaign guy next time around. Anyway, let's go to Perry in New Jersey. Hey, Perry.
Good morning, Mark. I have a question for you. This trans men participating in girls' sports, does that extend to the Women's National Basketball League, and does it also for the Women's Soccer League, and this way we can get rid of all those Trump-hating women in those sports?
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Bartlett, how does that work? What is the idea of this, that these trans men can play in women's sports?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you think you want to be a woman on Wednesday, you can play women's volleyball, I guess.
So you're saying when I was in school, I could have said I identify as a woman and play on the women's team?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
you know, it's, you have to, I guess, kind of really feel that way, but you know, it's not something that you could just have, you know, like, oh, on Wednesday I want to be a woman so I can play volleyball with the girls. No.
So if you have intermission at the Broadway show, there's a line a mile long for the restroom, you could say, you know what? I identify as a woman. I'm using that restroom over there. So, you know, you look at this young generation coming up, and you, or even the current 20-somethings living in the parents' basement, you look at them and say, what happened? How did they get like this? This is how, stuff like this. First, it was the no score, we don't keep score. Everybody gets a trophy, that kind of stuff. It ruined everybody, took away their competitive edge, took away their drive. Now you got, you know, you're not a man, you're not a woman. Hey, what happened to follow the science?
Right.
What happened to follow the science? I bet a scientist would tell you that, yes, there is a difference. This is a man, this is a woman. Hey, when we come back, Bill O'Reilly will be with us. You know, he's written these huge bestsellers. The latest one, it's about to come out. You can pre-order it. Killing the Mob. This is the best book ever. This has got everything in it, from Frank Sinatra to Hoffa to JFK to Al Capone. It's an amazing book, Killing the Mob. Anyway, he'll be with us next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
He knows the news before it's news.
Mark Simone
on 710 WOR.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, of course, one of the greatest TV hosts ever. Now, if you want to watch the show, you can watch Bill O'Reilly every night. Just go to BillO'Reilly.com, sign up there. Also, best-selling author. His latest book's about to come out, Killing the Mob. This is a riveting book. I mean, this book has everything in it, from JFK to Capone to Hoover to Sinatra to Jimmy Hoffa. Killing the Mob, you can pre-order it right now. And you can get his column and everything at BillO'Reilly.com. Bill O'Reilly, how you doing?
I'm doing better than Governor Cuomo's doing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Do you think word came down from somewhere, like it's okay, take him out? Because it's CNN, MSNBC, everybody's going after him.
Interesting question. I think that there are people who understand that the far left, the progressive movement, is in trouble because it's overreaching on this censorship stuff and the cancel culture. So there's going to be a backlash against that. It hasn't happened yet, but it's building. And so they're trying to get ahead of it by saying, all right, well, we know one of our own, Andrew Cuomo, screwed up, and there's no doubt he did. So maybe we throw him over the side, and then we can point to that we're equal opportunity destroyers, so we'll cancel the governor, and then they can't attack us as vehemently for the cancel culture. That's just a theory I have. Could be wrong on that, but there's not a lot of goodwill. I don't think the governor has built up a lot of goodwill over the years with even his own people. Kind of a, you know, he can get nasty. I don't mind him myself because, I mean, you know, I know him for a long time. I don't mind him. He doesn't bother me. I don't like the way he's governed the state. I think he's really, really damaged New York State. But I think that's what it is. They're just saying, well, you know, we can't save him, so let's kill him. And then we can always say to people, you know, we get everybody that's evil and bad.
You know, for a guy who did those briefings, and they were phenomenal. I mean, what a talker, what a speaker. Aren't you amazed at how bad he is at trying to make up excuses and talk his way out of this? He's just been a disaster at it.
It's a karma thing. There is no way to talk your way out of it. So the strategy that he'll rope-a-dope and it'll go away has failed. And that was the original strategy. Don't admit any wrongdoing. Just you know, blame everybody else, Trump and climate change, whatever he's blaming today, I don't even know. It didn't work. You know, in a situation like that, he signed the executive order. He just said, he should have just said, I did it. I'm sorry I did it. I wouldn't do it again, but I did it because I felt that this was the best thing, and I didn't really know the extent of the contagion. That's what you do, but, you know, again, he's got a lot of hubris with him. He's got a lot of ego, and so he didn't want to do that.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly, you know, this Merrick Garland, when they nominated him to the Supreme Court, he looked like quite the impressive guy. Now that I watch this guy test,
he's a loon.
Horrible. What?
He's Eric Holder's camp buddy, I guess. I mean, it's the same guy. I mean, to actually say to the nation, I really haven't thought about whether we should enforce immigration law. I mean, to really say that in a Senate hearing, and you want to be attorney general. I mean, I don't think this. I told my audience on BillO'Reilly.com, I wouldn't vote for this guy for, you know, sheriff of a county up in Alaska where nobody lives. I mean, he doesn't come across as anybody who has any kind of a desire to enforce the law. He's just a progressive zealot, much like Holder. You know, you can not like Barr and all of that, and you can criticize Barr certainly for some of the things he did, but Barr was interested in enforcing the law. He wasn't interested in telling us about it. You know, where's John Durham? I mean, you know, how long is that going to go on? And I think people have really lost confidence in the Justice Department at this point.
You know, but one thing about Barr, when you brought up election fraud or so, he'd say, well, it's not that widespread. It's a little here and there. But when you bring up these white supremacists, Merrick Garland acts like they're everywhere. Like,
he's going to get them. So I wrote a column on BillO'Reilly.com. I hope you read it. With the statistics about how many white supremacists have been prosecuted in America in the last 2 years. And on the federal level, 10 cases were brought. 10. On the local state level, 8. In all 50 states, 8. So you add it up, it's 18 cases brought against white supremacy people who want to kill us all. 18. 2 years. So you got more Antifa in one night than in 2 years on the white supremacy front. So what's this all about? Well, in the column, I say this is a theory. I can't prove it, but this is to divert attention away from Bill de Blasio, from Chicago, from San Francisco, L.A., Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, all the cities that have fallen apart under far-left governance. If you demonize the main threat to the country as white supremacists, then maybe we'll forget about all the debacles in the big cities run by far-left people. That being said, there are people who want to hurt other people because of their skin color. There are. I mean, there are the groups that I mentioned in the column. I mentioned groups that exist. I never heard of them. I mean, I've never seen a white supremacist. I don't know any white supremacists on Long Island. I don't think they're allowed. I don't think you're allowed to come here if you're a white supremacist, because I lived here. I don't know any white supremacist. No one. I don't live on the internet. I know where these loons are there. You know, they think Hitler's a great guy or whatever they think, but there's so few of them. But, yeah. America's going to get them. You know, maybe there's a 200, but America's going to come after you, which isn't bad. I mean, I don't mind you getting them. I don't want white supremacists running around hurting anybody, so get them. But if you're going to tell me that that's the biggest threat, you know, ISIS is on vacation going, hey, that's good. I'm glad I think that.
You know what else is a threat? Iran, we're talking about getting back into that Iran nuclear deal, but Iran yesterday says, well, you know what? We are going to make more nuclear stuff. We are going to make more. We're going to do
whatever we want.
Is that Iran smelling weakness in Joe Biden?
I had a conversation with President Trump last summer, and I asked him about Iran. This is off the record, but I don't think he'd mind me telling your audience. And I said, you know, these Iranian guys, do you think that they're capable of, you know, really causing death and destruction in the world? Do you really think they'll go that far? And the president said to me, not when I'm here. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, we made it quite clear to them. You know, they have attaches all over the world, and so we have embassies, say, in Switzerland, and, you know, we get messages over to the Iranians. Again, look, if you do anything, we're going to blow your Navy and your Air Force right out of existence. That was the threat that Trump made to Iran. They didn't do anything. They were, you know, and then we got Soleimani and sent another message. Look, you know, you do step out of line, and it's going to happen to you. Biden's not going to do that. You know, Biden's got John Kerry over there, and, you know, they're not afraid of them. They're not afraid. So yeah. I think that's where we are. So now you're going to see Iran, you know, causing trouble. How bad they're going to be, I don't know.
Well, I'd say we're out of time, but if you know, Bill O'Reilly is the best-selling nonfiction author in the world. Last book was Killing Crazy Horse. The new one, Killing the Mob. This is an excellent book. You can pre-order it right now. And when does it come out?
And you read it, right?
Oh, I love this book. It's everything I love.
Thank you.
It's got
Well, if you order it on BillO'Reilly.com, pre-order it, you get 50% off Killing Crazy Horse. And I think that's a really good deal. And I think you guys will like both books. And I appreciate you writing it. You reading it, Simone. I know you're busy, man.
No, it's a great book. You'll love Killing the Mob, Bill O'Reilly's new book. If you want to watch his TV show, it's tonight. Get his column. You can get everything by going to BillO'Reilly.com. And sign up there, BillO'Reilly.com, and make sure you pre-order Killing the Mob. You will love this book. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for being with us.
All right, Mark. Always fun. Thanks for having me.
Right.
Bye.
Take care. And everybody, check out the webpage. You know, every day we put up new videos, and there's all kinds of stuff up there. If you didn't see yesterday's, this is pretty good. It's the real secret of the Biden administration. Take a look at that video. And if you didn't see this... everybody got the word to take out Cuomo, MSNBC, CNN, they're going, but watch this. Even SNL finally did a Cuomo sketch. It's pretty good. Take a look at it. It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark, 710WOR.com/Mark.